The sermon this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. We'll move back and start the reading at verse 1 and continue to verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll start the reading at verse 1. For now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. For there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of ministries, and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Pray with me. Our God, help us now and bless us now as we would hear what you would speak, as we would apply your affection for us to our lives, that you would build affection in us for you and for one another, that we would go and eagerly do the things that you say with what you have given us, that you would be most glorified. Thank you, God, for your love and for your power in our lives. Thank you that you will accomplish good things in us and the good that concerns us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at the scripture, we see the idea that everyone has been given something. Gifts have been given, and I would say to us, and I'm going to be extremely specific, gifts have been given to you as individuals for the good of the church. In our lives, sometimes we can look and we have to evaluate the best ways to care for each other and the best ways to love each other. One of the favorite things that I get in my life is when someone makes me my favorite cake. There are good things in life that we are given, and one of the best is my favorite cake. Well, in life, we have different tools, and there's things that we need and things that we use to give things to people. Well, in my family's life, and having grown up in the woods, one of our forms of entertainment was collecting small reptiles and amphibians. Sometimes you needed a place to put your newt. Sometimes you needed a place to put your crayfish. Sometimes there wasn't any place to put them. So you would go and you would open up the cabinets in the kitchen. You would find what you needed and you would put your newts or your crayfish or whatever it was that you had in there. Sometimes those things would be gifts. Sometimes the container was meant for something specific. Sometimes the container might even be meant for my birthday cake. What if in such a situation the good things that we have and what we were given and what we had to be used for something good, to give something to somebody else, was being used for something bizarre or even being used for something disgusting? Where does that leave us in the places in which we would be giving gifts to other people? If you can look at your life, and if we can look at the places of our sins, if we could look at the places of our obsessions and see the places where we've gone after evil, where we've gone to idols, where we've served idols, can you see that the energy that you put forth, even the skills that you have and the abilities that you have, given to idols, was specifically meant to serve the church, to serve your household, to serve your family members? It's a scary and a sad idea. And if we step back and just took one example from Scripture, if we just took one commandment, you shall not commit adultery. And if we looked at the places in our lives where we had catered to lusts or catered to our own affections, where we catered to our own pleasure, and we can imagine the pains and the sorrows that came from that. And what about such a terrible moment? We look and wonder what good could have been done with the gifts that we have been given. At different times in my life, I have entered into various fantasies and wondered what would it have been like if I did high school only with Jesus. How would I have behaved differently? Sometimes I'll turn it back a little further and wonder, what if I had my same affections or my same desires? And what if I was in kindergarten? What if I started going and I would read my Bible every day? What if I went to a bookstore and actually got a copy of the Westminster Confession of Faith? And I started studying it then and learning my shorter catechism then. What if I studied it every day and I think of, what would I be like now? What would I learn now? How much scripture would I have in my head now? How fantastic would that be? And then I stop myself and I say, if you loved it that much, why aren't you doing it now? Why aren't you studying now? Why aren't you making yourself a giant now? Why aren't you clinging to Christ like that now? Well, for those of us, and I bring that idea up because all of us, every single one of us can look and see what we've wasted. And we could all sit and we could lament and mourn over what we're not now. We could sit and we could lament and we could mourn over the circumstances and the pain and the sorrows that we see in the church that maybe we could have healed. And that's okay. I invite you to mourn your sin. I invite you also to hate it. There's no real repentance without mourning. There's no real repentance without hatred for sin. So don't act like that's something you should just put off and forget. Mourn it and hate it. Do it and don't stop. But from that place, the mourning and the sorrow does not rule us. The mourning and the sorrow does not sideline us. The mourning and the sorrow does not put us in the place where we are no longer able to serve and to work in our various capacities and the different spheres of our lives. The scripture says, and Paul said, I don't count myself as having achieved it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, pressing forward to what's ahead. I hate this stuff. I'm killing it. I'm putting it off. But now I'm going to work. Now I'm going to labor. Now I'm pushing forward in Christ Jesus. So hating it, but loving Christ. Hating it, but not ending up in sorrow. Hating it, not being crippled. Hating it, pressing forward. So we look and see what God is accomplishing, what God has been accomplishing. He works, as we see in the scripture, and it's laid out from God, from the Lord, from the Spirit. So the call this morning is for you to rely on the triune God for the good of the church. That we look and we see and we know the Father and we love the Father, that we would work for Him. How beautiful is it when you see a child looking to cause a parent delight? Don't we love to see that? Don't we rejoice in that? Is there a greater joy for a parent than a child doing something that they've been told and saying, Daddy, Mommy, look. It's a beautiful place. And God gives us that picture, and He rejoices in you in the same way. When we do what He has said, and we say, Daddy, look. Look. It's a place of affection. It's a place of affection for the Father. We look and see the ways that He's worked, and we are given Christ Jesus. He has made His steps into a way that we would walk in them, following Christ, glorifying the Father, loving one another. He has given us the Holy Spirit in our lives to equip us, to bring to mind what He has said in His Word, to give us all the fruits of the Spirit, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness and the self-control. All of these beautiful things that the Father could look and we can say, yes, Daddy. And we praise Him for it because it comes from Him. So for our first step, as we're relying on God for the good of the church, our first step is to see gifts as from the one Spirit. Gifts are from the one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:4. And now there are a variety of gifts. And you know, that's actually good. That's actually good. There being a variety of gifts. In my household, my children, they have different skills and they have different abilities. There's some I would ask for this, and there are some that I would ask for that. One of my sons, he's the finder. He can find stuff. He can be somewhere else. I can be at home. He is not there. I cannot find something. I will call Leslie and I will say, ask Amos where such and such is. She will ask him and he will tell me. I will not ask my other son where something is. He will not know. If I need a great big air conditioner carried, I know which son I'm going to ask. He's going to carry it. The other son, I'm not going to ask him yet. We have gifts and abilities, and it's good. And sometimes this will even look like the fruits of the Spirit. Some of your gifts and abilities will be joy. Some of them will be peace. Some of it will be self-control in moments. And we will have these in various degrees. But the beauty is, if you have just a whisper of one of these, just a shadow or a little spark of light of one of these in your heart, that is evidence of the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit who was there at the foundation of the world. The Holy Spirit who was at work in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit by whom God raised Christ Jesus from the dead. That same Spirit is alive and at work in you with just a whisper, with just a glimmer of light in you. It is from Him. Ephesians 4:8. Therefore it says, when He ascended on high, He led captive a host of captives and He gave gifts to men. We're told in James 1:17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. This gives us and puts us in a place of thankfulness, in a place of rejoicing. If you can look in your life and say, I'm not as patient as I want to be, but I'm more patient than I was. I don't have the joy I want to have, but I have more joy than I did. I don't have the self-control that I want to have, but I have more self-control than I did. I don't have the love for God that I want to have, the love for my neighbor that I want to have, but I have more than I did. Evidence of God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ at work in you. He brings this out, and keep keeping this in mind, from verse 4, the same Spirit. You know, it's easy to get annoyed with people who aren't where we are. One son can get mad at one for not being able to find stuff. One son can get mad at the other for not being the one to help carry stuff. But a gift is given, a specific gift is given to each of us from the same Spirit. And so if you're not where I am and I'm not where you are and we're not there, we don't have to hate each other. We don't have to be angry with each other. We can be thankful for what we have been given and what is being accomplished in one another. Our next step, number 2, see ministries as services under the Lord. See ministries as services under the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:5. And there are a variety of ministries in the same Lord. I'm not sure how you look at the word ministry. Maybe you may think in terms of a specific ministry. There's Trails Ministry downtown that ministers to people who are incarcerated or affected by incarceration. I'm sure there's various student ministries, and I'm sure every one of us have been involved with ministries here and there. Maybe you think in terms of specifically a religious organization. It doesn't have to be that. Ministry can simply mean a service. If you were to clean the church, you would be doing a service, therefore a ministry. If you're making a meal for somebody, you're doing a service and therefore a ministry. If you're sharing the gospel, you're doing a service and therefore a ministry. The word in the Greek is diakonai. It's the word where we get diaconate or a deacon, someone who serves. There are various services within the church. There are various works that we do. Proverbs 16:4. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose. Take that for you. The Lord has made you for a specific purpose, a service, a ministry. James 2:10 gives the idea and explains, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared beforehand that you would walk in them. Those are good things. These are blessings. That's saying you have been set up in a good place, equipped by God. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he, that is the Father, delights in his way. And an exciting part about that is where you are right now is exactly in accordance with his plan. Sometimes we look at ourselves and say, I've gotten so far off track, I don't think I can get back. I'm so far from where he would want me to be. There is no hope for me. The truth is, wherever you are right now is the starting line where he has placed you. And he's saying, go. I have equipped you for this race. I have equipped you for this purpose. Go. Proverbs 16:3. And this passage has helped me with a number of confusions. At some of our conferences or family conferences, they've had a committal service. And I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what the meaning of a committal service was. My mother would talk about committing me at different times, and she meant something very, very different. But Proverbs 16:3 gives us the idea of what is being talked about at the beginning of a family camp, and you're having a committal service. Commit your works to the Lord. Commit your works to the Lord. Can you commit your sin to the Lord? Nope. But good things, loving him, good things, loving our neighbor, we can commit to him, saying, this is his, this is for him, this is why I do it. You know, you might not like your closest neighbor all the time, but you can take the good things that you were supposed to do and say, this is for him, this is for the good of the church, I am going to do it. Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Now this comes back again, and he keeps restating this. And there are a variety of ministries, and he comes back again, and he says, and the same Lord. Just before, he said, and there is one Spirit. He keeps giving us the idea that you don't have your Holy Spirit over here, and you're doing your thing, and you have your Holy Spirit over here, and you're doing your thing, and we're divided. He's saying, no, there is one Spirit. There is one Lord that is governing us and controlling us, and putting us where we are, where we need to be. This brings us to our third step. Trust God for the effects. Trust God for the effects. Verse 6, there are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. This is giving us the idea that, you know, you may try, and you may try, and you may try. You may witness, you may witness, you may witness. You may serve and serve and serve. You may love and love and love. And you can look and say, and nothing. And nothing. And the scary part about that is, and the dangerous part about that is we look at ourselves and say, I'm a failure. I'm a failure. The beauty is that serving and faithfulness is success. That doing what we are told is the victory. 1 Corinthians 3, 6-7, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. God accomplishes, God brings things to pass in his time. We can look at our lives and say, I've tried being good. I've tried. I've tried respecting that man. I've tried. I've tried loving that woman. I've tried. I've tried honoring these parents. I've tried. I've tried disciplining these kids. I've tried. I've tried loving my neighbor. I've tried. And then we say, so I quit. I'm a failure. I quit. The loving is success. The doing is success. God brings the victory. He brings the growth in his time. Even if you are working these roses and they are not growing and giving you flowers, God looks at you working and working and working. He points and says, success. He points and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Your daddy is pleased. And it is the reality of our circumstances in this life. In this world, we'll have troubles. In this world, we'll work the ground by the sweat of our brow, and the earth will not yield its produce. There is a curse, there is sin, but trying and laboring, the doing is the success. And with that, God is pleased, and he brings the effects in his own good time. Our next step, number four, is your abilities are for the good of the church. Your abilities are for the good of the church. 1 Corinthians 12:7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For us, in our common brotherhood, and us in our common sisterhood, for us in our common church, you have your powers, you have your abilities for the common good, for the good of the church. I've told the story before in a situation where we were and my children were there, and this little boy about my daughter's age was acting the fool. And as he was acting the fool and he's playing it out and he's just carrying it on, I'm watching him and I saw him look at my daughter. And I saw my daughter look back at him and she smiled and he continued acting the fool. And afterwards I talked to her and I said, girl, don't you know you have powers? You have abilities. You can spur someone on and acting the fool, or you can spur someone on and nobility and good. Use your powers for good and not for evil. Each of you have powers. Each of you have abilities. Each of you have gifts. And we need to look and see, where are we pouring them out? And this is a scary thing. Think of your time. Where does your time go? How much is actually for the common good of the kingdom? You have to ask that question. And you have to come to terms with the reality. For some of you, maybe you're saying, I can't do any more. I believe you. Maybe it's true. Maybe you're working. Maybe you're caring for a family. Maybe you're caring for parents. Maybe you're laboring as hard as you can. Or maybe we're just spending way too much time on Netflix. We have to look and see, what is the reality? Are we using our abilities for the good? 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And we would take that and I would say, yes, provide for your house. Provide for the people that you live with. Provide for your parents. Honor your father and your mother. Bearing your children up in the discipline and in the instruction of the Lord. Do not forsake these. Care for your family. But from that, this is actually also going to apply to the church. This is our household. This is the household of faith, and our gifts and our abilities are for one another. Galatians 6:10, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We're placed here to live and to labor and to work together. Our next step, number 5, is to seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Again, he keeps saying, the same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Spirit. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. James 1:5-6, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. This idea of wisdom, and let's go ahead and make it understanding the word and its application in our lives and in the lives of others. Do you look at me and see me acting the fool? Do you look at me and see me carrying on in a way that will be harmful to my household and harmful to the church? Do you see the scripture and how it speaks and how it would rebuke me? As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. If you have the gift of wisdom, if you can look and see how the scripture applies to our lives, if you see a brother stumble, you who are spiritual are to restore such a one with a spirit of gentleness. It is to be the reality of our lives that we speak to one another the very truth of God. Proverbs 28:5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. If you're seeking the Lord, you actually have understanding. Isn't that beautiful? If you're seeking the Lord, you'll actually understand the ways that we are to live as family. We are to speak to one another in that place of wisdom. Now, wisdom does not just manifest, but wisdom comes as God gives his word in the scripture and we apply it. And this brings us to our 6th step, which is pursue knowledge. Pursue knowledge. Again, verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. How does the Spirit work in our lives? Well, he gives us abilities. But he doesn't just speak words to us anymore apart from what has been given in the Scripture. The Scripture is the tool. The Bible calls the Scripture the sword of the Spirit. That we would use. We learn and we train with the sword of the Spirit. We acquire knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in knowledge is a command. And that is why one of our vows when we are becoming members of the church is, do you promise to diligently read your Bible? That we would be a people educated in what God has said. That we would know his truth so that we can apply his truth. Proverbs 2:1-6 steps back and starts speaking as a father again. So listen to what the father says to you. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And all of this comes and all of this is given by that one Spirit. All of it is governed by that one Lord. All of it is done as we follow Christ Jesus. And isn't it beautiful then? Isn't it beautiful then? When together we're actually relying on God. when together we're actually seeing our gifts for one another's good. If you could just look back and think of a time where you were cared for by the church. Think of the time where you were actually loved and served. Think of the beauty that that produced in you, the joy that it produced in your heart. And to see, that's how we're actually supposed to live. It's not supposed to be the exception. It's not supposed to be that thing that happened 10 years ago. It's supposed to be that thing that we live day by day. And that is beautiful. That is the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit being lived out in our lives. So look to that. Look to that and live it. Look to your life and see where you need to repent. And see repentance not as a burden or a terrible thing, but a beautiful thing. A washing. A turning from sin and crime. A turning to beauty and to peace. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you for all of the good that you have done concerning us. We thank you for the one Spirit that you have given us. We thank you that we know you as the one Lord. We thank you that we know Christ as our one Savior. We thank you that you have made us family. Lord, help us to really hate our sin, to hate where we have been, that our steps will not even go near to those old terrible doorways, but that we would walk in the new way, in your Son's way, that he will be glorified, that your church will be preserved, that your church will even grow in grace and knowledge and even in number, that your praise will be added to more and more, and that your kingdom will come on earth and your will be done here in our midst. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.